listeners tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go. Let's go.
Let's indeed go. Go, go, go! It's just Ben, CJ. Hey, quick reminder, top of the show. We have some Rolling Stones tickets for the Rolling Stones show coming up. I know some people indeed might be like, hey, is Rolling Stones really alternative? Isn't Rolling Stones, don't they kind of supersede any kind of, at this point, any kind of label?
They're the Stones, man. You wouldn't have much of what we're playing.
Correct.
If there weren't bands like the Stones, specifically the Stones.
Yeah. So, throwing that out there, also throwing this out there, we need some kind of invention or some kind of way to, like a stun dart, puts someone to sleep or blows up a phone of anyone who thinks that it is in any way acceptable to talk as loudly on the phone as a guy I just listened to talk loudly on the phone outside of a Starbucks. It is obnoxious. It ruined my afternoon, which I don't know why it bothered me so much, other than I was trying to get a tad bit of show prepping done before I popped over here. Couldn't, because
this asshat's on his phone. Can I ask another layer of annoyance? Was the person he was speaking with on speaker?
He was for a little bit. Then he was on ear. Then he just had it, was holding it up to it. But he was talking so loud. I'm like, this MF-er. And what else did he keep saying? He was clearly East Coast because he was using some stuff that we don't say.
Some Jersey slang.
And people were getting up and moving away from him. So he had to. Was he that unobservant?
Zero situational awareness or care for others.
Zero situational awareness, ZSA. But I kept thinking, man, if only there was an app, I would download it immediately. If there was an app that you could get.
Like a dog shot collar?
Well, or that when you hit it, it just turned his phone off. And it would just say, someone.
A miniature EMP.
Someone in the area has detected your phone is too loud. Please step away from the area. It could just say that. Then you can go back to making your call, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't have a right to be on the phone. But recognize where you are.
Also, even the cheapest of headphones that you can connect to any Apple or Android device has a speaker, a microphone that you can talk into. So you could do that.
It wouldn't even matter if he had the microphone. I can't explain to you how loudly this guy was talking. And then he just kept dropping these MFing. Oh, what was it? What was the word? Because I was like, ugh. He's not even a Texan.
That's not a Texas slang?
Not even a Texan. And,
is it bohunk? That's a term for Czech people that I love.
And then he finally walks off. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But within like 4 minutes, like a plane that's about to land on you, I hear him getting louder and louder and louder. And then he comes back and he just stands right in front of me. And when I say in front of me, I'm sitting at a table. Would be between where you and I are.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's there, sitting on top of my table, essentially, and just screaming into his phone. And so at one point, I made eye contact with him with his wee, beady little eyes. And I just thought, I'm going to stare at you until you realize, like, oh, I'm being looked at. Oh, I should probably move on.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and then I don't think he wanted the eye contact confrontation. So then he just looked away, but he didn't move on. Anyway, this is a high-tech town, and we need somebody out there to develop and design some kind of tiny micro EMP app that goes on my phone that will blast somebody like that. Thank you very much.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Today is the greatest because on this day in 1553, the Elizabethan Age began. Guess what? That bitch still alive. Okay, different Queen Elizabeth. No, I'm talking about Queen Elizabeth the First. And I know exactly what you're thinking. CJ, why do I give an F about this? How does this affect me? Well,
that's good you're asking that.
I will tell you about that.
I was thinking that just now.
I will tell you. But first, some fun listicle clickbait facts about Queen Elizabeth the First. She almost wasn't queen, as third in the line of Henry VIII, and even imprisoned by her sister Mary the First. Elizabeth ruled for 45 years, which is impressive for a monarch of the time, let alone a female. She was known to be a bit of a fashionista. She had an extensive wardrobe, including 2,000 pairs of gloves, wigs, and many, many other things. She was like super into astrology. So if you weren't a Pisces and she's a Cancer, you ain't dating. There was literally a cult surrounding her. Yeah. A lot of her people tried to depict her in the press of the time as almost like a Greek or Roman goddess and stuff like that. And, you know, a long, lengthy reign during a time of peace will kind of help people lead into that. She pioneered legislation to feeding the poor. She was fluent in several languages. She was a lifelong bachelorette, declining to marry many kings, including the biggest at the time, Philip of Spain. Her long-lost love was actually a Dudley, her married childhood friend, but she can never be with him because, again, he was married. At 69, she was the oldest monarch in history at the time. She was also said to curse like a sailor.
Good for her.
Now
I like her.
Why is all this important to us?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to get to that question, for sure.
Well, first and foremost, we wouldn't be here.
Why is that?
We would not be sitting here. Elizabeth's rule shaped the world to this day. After the defeat of the Spanish Armada, England slowly became the naval power and eventually superpower in the world. This led to an extended period of peace in which the global and local economy boomed. The arts flourished, such as music, literature, theater, think Shakespeare, etc. Cuisine exploded, and perhaps the biggest impact, for better or worse, depending on where you lived, they took the lead on exploration, colonization, and empire building. And naturally, you know, there's many negative impacts, such as the boom of slavery, killing off of indigenous populations in the new colonies, and of course, stripping native resources to feed expansion, which is a big part of imperialism. But still, to this day, Elizabeth is celebrated for her contribution to shaping our world. Her long reign, plus the transfer of power and stability of her successors, allowed for the giant growth of the Western world and eventually the founding and formation of America, where we live today. The old phrase that the sun never sets on the British Empire pretty much started with Queen Elizabeth I.
Wow. And the other thing is, if there had never been a Queen Elizabeth, there never would have been that delightful movie, Elizabethtown.
Or Shakespeare in Love. Let's go watch it. Today is the greatest.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Time to let him out of his cell, ladies and gentlemen. That's our producer, Spencer. Hey, Spencer. Come on out of your dungeon and present us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Spentertainment.
Hey, how's it going?
Love that energy.
Thank you. I brought a lot of it today.
I woke up.
I got some sleep, and I feel in a much better spirits.
Good.
Let's talk about this DoorDash driver.
Well, you nailed it the first time, didn't you?
DoorDash driver defecates in customer's residential lobby after dropping off order.
Not just a customer, but a radio personality. This is like the third weird story I've seen this week involving someone on the radio.
Give us a quick 15-second synopsis.
DoorDash driver in Southern Cali seen on surveillance video after dropping off her person's food. She took a little duke and
desperate and couldn't. Oh, so it was in a trash. So it wasn't just right in the middle of the.
Well, it ended.
She kind of missed.
She wasn't making a statement.
No, it ended up getting all over the place though, because it's a messy situation.
Well,
but yeah.
Come on.
There's also video footage of her removing her dress to check.
Yeah.
Make sure she didn't miss on get it on there. Yeah.
Poor lass. I feel for her, you know, because
you
can't really ask, hey, can I come up and use your toilet?
I bet this is one of those stories where radio personalities all across the nation today have been like, oh my God, that is ridiculous.
But can you believe that?
I'm going to say something. I feel for the woman 100%.
Same here.
Yeah. You ever had a driving job?
No.
I drove delivery for a while.
Thank God.
You You don't have a lot of time.
Or a lot of places to go.
No. And you have a lot of places, especially in bigger cities. Is this a bigger city?
Yeah, Brentwood here in L.A. Okay. Looks like. So, yeah, absolutely.
L.A. isn't one like New York, too, where you can't, if you try to run into like a 7-Eleven or
they're
something,
not gonna let
they're,
you,
they're all
even
locked
if you
up.
Buy something.
No. That's a
also,
shame, man.
Also, dude, in
I
this
feel
economy,
for her, dude.
it's tough. Man, I guess this isn't funny. We're supposed to just bag on this old lady.
Oh, that's
so zany. We're supposed to bag on this lady, but
I can't believe she had to stoop so low.
We're already in a position where you've got people out there hustling, just absolutely hustling to try to get bills paid.
She already lost her job, too.
I know, of course she did.
They refunded the victim, if you will.
He's not a victim.
He's not.
I don't know. I mean, I thought this was done as an act of...
No.
When I first read it, I thought she was just like, man, I hate your station, and then just went right on the middle of the floor.
That's exactly what I did.
And I was like, yeah, I get that. We've all... Which one of us hasn't done that here at the old studio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just leave one in there, no flush.
It's called... We all worked the winter storm. When there was no water in the building.
Yeah, we know how it works.
Yeah.
But, man...
Yeah, this is not a person behaving badly. This is a person having an emergency.
Her bowels behaving badly. There's just a thing, too. You got to... I don't understand some of the stuff I see written on the internet about people. Look, people are hustling their asses off.
Oh, yeah.
Going and grabbing new food so you can sit at home on your
thank
eat.
You.
At least a thank you. At least a thank you.
If I saw that happen, I wouldn't have reported it like this person did who saw the... stuff right. in the lobby and then reported it to DoorDash. Well, like, I would have just been like, okay, I got my food, I tipped them, whatever, I'm done.
Yeah, and maybe she didn't get it all in the trash can, but here's what I would say to that.
At least don't make it go viral.
Well, yeah, like, she hasn't really had a lot
of... This didn't have to be your content.
Here's what I would say to that, which is, how many of us have practice?
Exactly. I was going to say, she's never practiced in
it's
that
a first time
before.
It is a first time. None of us has ever, like, if you said, hey, Matt, $500, can you? And I'd be like, I don't.
Nah, I'd nail it. I'm on it.
500?
Yeah, you've been there, you've done that.
I got five on it, but I don't know if I got 500.
No, if you got 500, I will bend and deuce in whatever.
You'll get 100% of it in there.
I'll get most of it.
That's not good enough.
That's not what we're arguing now.
All
right, we're arguing that this woman didn't get all of it because it was the first time. And you even said, with money on the line, well, I'll get most. And that is not what we're arguing. We're arguing 100%.
Okay, well, do I have like 2 days to eat some lean protein and acidophilus so I know I've got one chunk I'm firing out?
Did this woman who's busting her backside, so to speak, so that she can get a Carl's Jr. to this?
All right, so you're saying I have to do this in less than ideal or random circumstances.
Right now! Right now, CJ!
All right, here we go.
Woo!
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Time for the parent pickup. And pay attention. If you were a kid in the 90s, it's definitely going to get your attention. Can you play that little bit of a clip for me? Ladies and gentlemen, your past is coming back. It's reaching out to you right now. And parents are definitely going to want to check this out. You recognize that? Yeah, Barney. Barney's back. Except not the way you think it is. Okay, you can turn it off now because it's going to drive me crazy.
What? No!
The Peacock Network is coming out with a 3-part docuseries next year about Barney, the big purple dinosaur that so many people who are parents who would probably be in the pickup line right now remember. But here's the cool thing. It's not just a docuseries about Barney. Because who cares, right? It's just Barney. It's also going to touch on the fact that how did Barney become the most hated person in America so quickly? You got to remember that Barney absolutely blew up. Were you of the age, CJ?
My little sister was. Okay. I was of the age of, like, I'm too cool for Barney. He sucks.
Right. But then, even for, like, in high school, it became this thing to ironically wear Barney shirts or whatever. The merchandising went crazy.
The Barney on Ice, or maybe I'm thinking of Reptar on Ice from Rugrats, but Barney was everywhere. I do remember hearing
and
that.
And so many different stars that you know of today, like Selena Gomez. She came out of Barney.
Really?
Yeah, a bunch of
Jeffrey Epstein.
No. He went there, but for different reasons. Let's not talk about it. It started as like supposed to be this kind of localized thing in Dallas.
Yeah.
It exploded, but then Barney became the target of like basically like hate and rage from people. Do you remember remember that thing about Disco Sucks? I forget where they did it.
Chicago, Soldier Field. No. Yeah. It wasn't Soldier Field, was it?
It may have been.
Point being, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they did a giant...
bring your disco records and we'll blow them up.
Burn him. Yeah. And it turned into like almost a riot.
Well, it turned into... It turned into a riot.
The greatest radio promotion in history.
Yeah, well, they were doing 5-cent beer or whatever. But there were events where they were making giant Barney dolls and things, and then setting them on fire and beating them. Somehow, America got really
angry at Barney.
Really angry. I don't know how much they're going to dive into there, but they hinted in the two articles I've read, they've hinted that it does touch on the fact that there was this huge explosion, there was Barney madness in our country, and then
the backlash.
The inevitable backlash. And usually when someone becomes really popular, the inevitable backlash is because you find out that they made racist tweets a few years ago or that they cheated on their wife, something like that. Anytime America falls in love with a new overnight hero, it always turns out, oh, be careful who becomes your hero. But Barney was just a man in a suit. Ooh, sorry, kids.
I'll edit it.
Thanks. They won't remember that. Anyway, I thought it's very interesting. I hadn't thought of Barney
In a long time.
Yeah. Completely forgot about him. I love when people do these docuseries where they kind of dig in. Three parts tells me there's no real drama there. Do you know what I mean? I want like a Tiger King thing. If you see 8 episodes on Barney, you're like, oh something man. Happened.
Like, something happened. Like, what's his name? The painter that we all know and love.
Sure, Bob Ross.
Bob Ross had a good multi-part documentary where
Absolutely.
You're like, oh damn, he was in some ass.
I'm really enjoying these. Now what I will say, here's the only drawback, and they're getting smart. Peacock is who's gonna be putting this out there, and I ain't signing up for a new service. I ain't gonna do it,
dude.
But eventually that'll come out and hit something else that I guess I'm paying
too
much money for.
Don't worry, you can come to our house because my fiance wants to watch Yellowstone, so we just got Peacock last night.
Why would I go to your house? Can't you just give me the login? Like a good red-blooded American
does? It's probably her same password to everything, so no. I don't need you seeing them honkers.
No. So CJ's fat, I don't just put that in there and then now I'm in?
CJ's fat, 69, you idiot.
420. Yeah, can you do me a favor and not yell 420 in the middle of parent pickup?
This is
for the kids.
It's just what time it's going to be in 20 minutes.
Smart move.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
We've talked about some of the biggest television shows on Netflix, especially with how much money they've made, how much fans they've drew after the absolute phenomenal success of Squid Game.
Right.
And now Netflix have released their top movies of all time. Still not quite as huge or even close to their TV shows, but they do have a lot of good original movies. And I thought we would just take a moment to read these, count them down, and discuss if we've seen or like any of these ones.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Number 10, Murder Mystery.
Don't know it. Never heard of it.
No
clue. Number 10. It's on their top 10?
170 million.
Murder Mystery.
Murder Mystery. No clue what that is.
Am I coming off right now as someone who's completely unhip? Was it huge? Everyone talking about it? Am I a dummy? Murder Mystery. Don't know it.
Yeah, no clue. It looks like Jennifer Aniston was in it, so.
Good for her.
Yeah, there we go. We're off to a hell of a start.
Welcome to 2021, everyone.
Number 9 at 186 million is The Old Guard. Surely you watched that, Matt?
No clue. Don't know what that is. Don't know what that is. Do you know what The Old Guard is?
No clue.
Okay.
All right, number 8.
I'm starting to sense a pattern in this list, which is that I don't know what we've been doing.
This one I did watch because it was bad, it was dumb, It was fun, and we're also a little baked. Army of the Dead at number 8 with $187 million. That's where there were zombies that took over Las Vegas. And a team led by Batista had to go in and cut into someone safe. And come on, Tig Notaro was in it?
Still nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. Number 7, Enola Holmes, $190 million. I'm guessing that has something to do with Sherlock Holmes' daughter?
It does. And finally, I'm on the
okay.
board.
Okay. Your daughter was a fan of this.
Yeah. My kids, loved it. And I'm going to tell you this. As an adult, well, that could be argued. But as someone with kids, it was one of those things where you're like, oh, this is way better than most kids' movies. It actually does not take an adult's intelligence for granted. And it was, I completely forgot about it. Because I didn't really care that much about it, but I will.
But you were able to sit there and watch it.
Thumbs up.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Sitting at number 6, Spencer Confidential, $197 million.
Wait.
It's about our producer, I think.
No, that was the one. Oh, that's a. Who's in that?
A guy?
No. Seriously. Like, Spencer Confidential was supposed to be. We talked about it before on Coyote, I remember.
Me. I'm in it. No, it's got Post Malone. Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Is that the one? Okay. It's the Mark Wahlberg. A lot of people talked about how it was the worst movie of all time.
Nice.
Of course.
Number 5, Six Underground with 205 million views.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Number 4, The Kissing Booth 2. 209 views. I do feel bad that I haven't quite yet finished number 3.
So these aren't series. These are just movies.
These are just movies. Yeah. These are just Netflix release.
Yeah, Who watches movies anymore?
I mean, this one was pretty damn big. And again, as I say, feel bad I haven't finished it yet. It's a lot to finish. Would probably have been better as an 8-part series. The Irishman, $215 million.
Isn't that Netflix nobody watches movies. Netflix needs to come out with the top 10 newspapers. How about that? Top 10 8-tracks.
Radio host and shows.
Well put.
Number 2, Extraction. $231 million.
It's a Dennis movie.
And then number 1, I think I've seen this. I think you did too, didn't we? We did a bit on this back in the old days. Bird Box, $282 million.
I do remember Bird Box. Bird Box, Bird Box, the vision version of Quiet Place.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. So they have it to your top Netflix movies. And as the holidays get closer, we're going to be watching a lot more stuff, including Love Actually and recommending fun things just for you. 101X,
Matt and CJ. I got the skinny on Close by Quick Trips, where you can go and clean out your head. It's Matt Recommends, and as I've been talking about, every year I will take a trip where I just get away from the family, go for usually 24 to 48 hours.
Yep.
I take some notes, copious notes, figure out, I do an audit of my life. Where am I headed? Am I being a good dad? Am I being a good husband? Things like that. I think it's helpful for guys to do.
I think it's a great idea. And in you saying this, sorry to interrupt, it just made me think of, I like to do that on trips.
Yep.
But I don't do that on camping trips because my camping trips is all about me doing chores.
Right.
It's setting up the tent. It's cutting wood. It's getting my bike put together to go on a ride.
That's
it's cooking
okay.
dinner.
That's still clearing your head. Here's what
it kind of is, but
let me interrupt
I want to go where
quick.
You're going.
Because one of the things that we do as guys is a lot of times when we get a little time off, we go on a guy's trip. A guy's trip usually turns into copious amounts of drinking, having fun with our buddies, but very little self-auditing does get done. So, Spencer, I know you kind of hidden at this. Yeah. I've done a couple of the ones that I'm going to give you.
Awesome.
I don't ever return to one of them that I've done.
Fair
so these
enough,
are yours to
this
own.
Will be my first experience.
Closest to town, how about the newly rebranded Shady Villa Hotel in Salado, Texas? Most people know it as the Stagecoach Inn, but it just renamed to its original name, Shady Villa. Stagecoach is great. There's a great restaurant right there. Also in town in Salado, a place called Chupacabra. Mm. Has a bunch of taps on the wall. You can get quite a few beers going. There's actually some pretty good food. And speaking of beer, directly across the street from Chupacabra, Chupacabra, really at the back door. Place called Barrow Brewing. If you want to go have some fresh beer, just been brewed that day, Barrow is a fun place to hang out. And there's lots of good music there on the weekends.
Right. Spencer is definitely a beer guy, but I think he's also more of a Motel 6 kind of guy.
Here's the deal. Everything I'm naming is somewhat affordable, and if anybody wants to do any of these things, he's got two co-hosts that can chip in and try to help him.
Oh, thank you.
How about that, bitch?
I don't know.
This is going to come as a shock to you, but the next thing I'm going to tell you is Waco, Texas. And you're going to say, dude, I have no interest in going to look at the silos. I don't even own a big brimmed hat. Well, the zoo is not a joke. It's actually a fun little zoo. But if I were going to Waco, here's what I would hit up. Standard Hat Works. Go get yourself a custom-made cowboy hat.
Ooh,
and what is one of the best hatterers in the state of Texas.
Okay.
It's called Standard Hat Works. The folks that work there are super friendly, super knowledgeable. There's always some fun straw hats that are around a hundo you can grab off the wall. But if you want to get a custom joint, well, they're expensive. They start at about $500 and go up from there.
Woo!
But you know what? You're going to have a cowboy hat for the rest of your life if you live in Texas. And when you extend it over time, you realize not really paying that much money.
Although I have bought a few, and my big-ass fat head keeps growing, and they no longer fit me.
Sorry, bro.
I know.
You can check out the zoo, but I would recommend Mammoth National Monument, where you can go look at a bunch of woolly mammoths that they dug up. The story behind how they found them is fascinating. Go on the tour. Enjoy it. While you're in Waco, do not sleep on Guest Family Barbecue. The best barbecue, one of the best barbecue joints in the entire state. If they're doing the pastrami beef rib, yes, it's a little expensive. I think it's about $50.
Woo!
Don't flinch. Order it.
Eat it.
I promise you.
Put it right in my mouth.
Maybe it's $25. Maybe that sounds more reasonable.
Just double down.
Whatever it is.
Spend $50 on meat.
It's incredible. Don't stay in Waco. Drive up to Clifton and stay at the cell block. Some couple bought the old jail cell in Clifton, Texas, which is about, 35, 40 minutes outside. And you can stay in the jail. They convert the jail. You sleep in the jail. It's kind of fun. And it'll remind you where you're going to spend probably the last years of your life.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. You son of a bitch.
Last thing that I would recommend to you, if you want to really get away from things, put a fishing rod in the back of the car and a tent. Drive down to the Padre Island National Seashore, which you can enter through Corpus Christi, and drive out on the beach. And find you a spot and camp, put a line in the water. I promise you, there's no better way to get away with your thoughts than doing a little fishing, a little camping. There will be no one to talk to. It
Perfect.
Is the loneliest place on the planet, and it's pretty damn good.
Well, damn,
those
dude.
Are my three suggestions to you.
Thank you.
That is this week's Matt Recommends.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Turns out Thanksgiving stereotypes might, be based in actual reality.
Well, aren't maybe all stereotypes based on a little bit of reality?
Sure, you racist. Almost two-thirds of Americans... I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
You really lashed out right there. My God, man.
Almost two-thirds of Americans say that at least one family member will get drunk and possibly ruin Thanksgiving at a family get-together this year. And the most likely culprit, especially since I'm not drinking, is going to be the cliche we've all heard before. The drunk uncle. A third of people surveyed said the uncle is usually the most to get hammered.
Yeah, I don't ever actually have uncles at my events. And I will say, my family's sort of weird. I don't know if this happens for you. The person who ruins Thanksgiving every year...
The kids?
No, hang on. The person for me who ruins Thanksgiving the most every year is not... It's never ruined for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my family, it's not someone who stands up and spills stuff over and starts screaming where it's... They generally, I don't think, the person in my family who does ruin it almost every year, the same person, I don't think that person has any idea that they ruin holiday get-togethers.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't think they know.
Will you write it on a piece of paper for me?
No.
Oh, you're such a jerk.
I don't know how to spell my own name.
Well, there are a few other stats on how your Thanksgiving could go south in a hurry. And again, it's a lot of things you probably have already thought of or are worried about. Bringing up topics like politics, family gossip, personal drama, and your parents or grandparents are most likely to bring up something that could start a fight. 39% of people say they would probably do a little bit of yelling. 43% say it's not uncommon for at least one person to leave early. 48% expect to drink more at family get-togethers than they did at any other social event that year. The number one beverage ruining a holiday party, they say, either beer and whiskey. Oh, yeah. 54% of people say at least one of their family members will probably have to apologize the next day.
Yeah. Will they apologize? I mean, just because you're supposed to, I don't know that everyone always knows how to apologize. Yeah. And that creates some issues. It's hard, especially when you're blending families, you know? As people get a little older and there's more and more married folk or whatever, and you're blending them all together, you can get... Not everybody understands the graceful dance that must be performed. And so I've had... I think it's like two different Thanksgivings where I just was done and went to bed, and then my wife later crawled into bed crying, and I was just like, what were you? I told you to come to bed. I knew nothing good out there was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I could tell that it was turning south out there. I told you to get in here, into the bunker. You don't think I know how to get in the bunker?
Net.
I grew up around this stuff. I know how to get in the bunker.
Yep. My last several Thanksgivings have actually been fun because I've been the boyfriend attending.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I just get to sit back and watch the action.
Yes.
While I'm kind of being catered to, because there's the you don't scare this one off kind of thing. So it's always fun for me when my family, immediate family, of course, not involved.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Another piece of movie memorabilia has sold for an outlandish price, something that I've always wanted. Marty McFly's hoverboard.
Wow.
If you've ever seen Back to the Future, you'll remember the iconic hoverboard from Mattel that he hovered around on. We were supposed to have those by 2015, man.
We do. They just have wheels on them.
Yeah, they just have wheels, and they're all over downtown by annoying douche bros bar hopping. No hoverboards actually yet, but one the lucky auction winner paid what I would consider an astronomical price for it. And I know, Matt, we brought this up before, and you've said, well, don't they have multiple movie props
they
that
do.
They use?
They
but
do.
Apparently this is the one that was in the movie.
Ow, ow, ow. I just pulled a muscle rolling my eyes at you.
Oh, okay.
Very painful.
You say they use several ones, but they gave it the big old certification of authenticity.
Okay.
So you think some guy just went into a warehouse and was like, oh, hell, this one.
You know they had three of these things that they built.
But this is the one they used.
Okay,
that's what they say.
All right.
Stop breaking dreams of some poor guy who spent $500,000 to own the prop hoverboard from the movie Back to the Future.
I'm sorry, I misheard
you. $500,000.
It sounded like you said somebody spent $500,000 to own a movie prop. That's not what you said, right?
Well, to be $501,200. Yeah, so a little over $500,000. But hey, don't feel angry yet, because it was actually signed by Michael J. Fox and the man who played Biff Tanner, Thomas F. Wilson. So there you go. It's autographed at least. That makes it, just a quick squiggle makes it worth a whole lot more. So they just sold this item, and there were a couple of other ones that went from the big prop store's same auction. Don't worry, people didn't spend that much on these. These ones just sold for around $300,000.
Who, do we have a name released to who purchased this?
An anonymous purchase so far, so we
but
do
it's,
not.
It's,
but I don't know what movie nerd collects this kind of crap.
It's somebody in tech.
Yeah.
That's the only
right.
buddy who would have enough money at a young enough age to say something like, "Yeah, I'll spend $500,000 on a movie prop." It's different. It's not like you're collecting art which you know will go up in value over time.
Maybe
the value
of a prop might.
No, it's proven that there's a crest on all of these things. Whereas something like a Picasso is going to stay; it's going to hold its value for a much longer time. Things like this, we know. You can't get a whole lot of money right now for a May West signature. You used to be able to. right?
Yeah.
She was bigger and people had an attachment.
But then people kind of forgot about her.
Yeah, people eventually will have zero attachment to this movie, but, and the price of that's going to plummet.
But this is made out of plastic. It lasts longer.
Okay.
A few of the other items that sold for about $300,000 recently were Tom Hanks' volleyball, Wilson.
Oh, God.
Russell Crowe's helmet from Gladiator. And a miniature model of an X-Wing used in Return of the Jedi. So there you have it, nerds. With
so,
money.
So mad nerd at nerds with money.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Well, let's work on it and figure it out as we move along.
That's what the show's all about. At Just Matt and CJ social media, please let us know you're out there. Because if you don't, the bosses will take away our fun and freedom.
Let's talk a little bit about something important to the city, gun plan. As you know, we've been having some shootings around the city.
Just a few.
Pew, pew. Don't want to make light of it, but it's become an issue. And Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza this week released a 4-point strategy. He believes it's going to reduce gun violence in Austin and the surrounding area. Now, here's one of the things I do like about the plan. I'm not an expert on these plans and how they work and all that kind of stuff. But they did some research. They talked to a lot of other counties and cities around the country, said, hey, what's worked for you? What hasn't? And they said, look, you can't basically arrest your way out of these gun problems, right?
Yeah.
It's physically impossible. Also, we live in a state, guns ain't going anywhere, right? And the fact that we are all, it's a really vast majority of Texans that want to be able to own guns. So that's not really even on the table. But it said, look, you need to have a crime prevention through violence intervention specialists, which are usually police, but can be in other job opportunities as well.
Yeah.
We're working on that. And then through limiting access to firearms for people who shouldn't have access. And that's one of those things where I think even gun owners, people who don't like guns, whatever, they all get on board on that one.
Yeah, the responsible gun owners, they go to the range and train, but you still get that, well, it's a slippery slope.
Maybe you're not understanding what I'm saying.
I'm understanding, but folks out there are not understanding.
No, I think anyone knows that if you are... If a court of law has said that you cannot possess a gun and you come into possession of that gun, there needs to be a better way of removing that gun from that person's possession and then removing that person from the street.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who thinks necessarily that's a slippery slope. Do you think?
Well, because some of the things that they want to do to, first of all, prevent those people from getting guns involve making it harder to get guns for everyone. More of it could be... bureaucratic paperwork.
We'll see.
It could be restrictions at gun shows, the way things are sold outside of that. It's I don't know.
Okay. Well, they also want to work on some prosecution strategies, which I think is really important, and that may tie in with what we were just talking about. The fourth thing is they want to treat trauma caused by the violence. That's not necessarily going to stop gun violence, but they say that more needs to be done to help on that. And look, anything that looks like, hey, here is something actionable that we're going to try, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
I always think it's odd when people immediately start poo-pooing an idea before step one has even been tried with it yet. Like, well, this isn't going to work because these 8 ideas. And I'm like, well,
at least give it a try.
Something. I mean, are we just going to throw our hands up and then just say we're going to need to do zero?
Yeah, you
got to
do
it.
Some kind of preemptive measure. You can't just always be reactionary to something.
And we recently saw here in Austin, there was a ballot initiative where we were going to just basically. We already have the largest police budget we've ever had, and some people wanted to increase that by even more and said, well, we just need more police. That'll solve the gun problems. But most of us who are clever know that's not going to solve any gun problems whatsoever because we rarely hear stories of a guy shooting a gun, and then before the bullet hits a target, a police officer appears out of nowhere and jumps in front of that bullet or knocks it out of the sky.
Or and, like the sci-fi movie pre-crime. Also, where have a large majority of shootings happened?
Next to the police department?
In the most heavily policed area of Austin, downtown.
Yeah.
So...
Anyway, I think that it's a big moment for Jose Diaz's office. I think he's tried to make some. Jose Garza's office, and I think he's tried to make some good moves for the city as a whole. I'm anxious to see how this plays in. The fact that so many groups are coming to the table and sitting down and trying to give ideas, I think, is very, very helpful. Because honestly, we still have a pretty damn low crime rate here in the city when it comes to violent crime. I know that it's been advertised to us that that's not true, and this is a high year for us in gun deaths.
Yeah.
It's not the highest year we've ever seen in murders. It's not the highest year we've ever seen in petty theft or petty crime per capita. And in fact, if you go to per capita, it's not necessarily, you know, doesn't even register in the top 10. But hard numbers, and that's what most people look at, this 80-some-odd people and growing who have been shot this year, that scares people.
Yeah, it's still not a good thing at all.
Yeah, no, in Houston, you hit 80 by week one, the end of the first week of the year. You know, it's brutal. But I think one of the reasons a lot of us sought to move to Austin was to move out of maybe a city that had higher crime rates. And so we want to see that.
Turning into a big city. These are big city problems. These aren't Austin defund the police problems that's been pitched to us. These are growing pains of becoming a bigger city with more people and it just being part of it. It's a big entertainment area, but also
I also don't think we should throw up our hands and just say, well, this happens in a big city. There's no way out of it. Because so far, Austin's been pretty smart in a lot of things. We've had the lowest COVID numbers in anywhere in the state by capita. I'm not the lowest, but you know what I'm saying, of any of the large cities. And so if we continue to be pretty smart about becoming a large city, I think we can still have a really good town to be proud of.
Yeah.
I won't be here because I won't be able to afford to live here anymore.
No. I'll be proud of the changes that the city made. Get there.
Send me a postcard, why don't you?
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Three celebs of our youth, especially my youth, once disgraced, are making a comeback in 2022. We bitch about cancel culture a lot. Is it really a thing? Is it not? I don't know. But there were three people canceled for, you know, stuff ranging from violent crimes to doing something weird to just smoking a little bit of reefer. And all three of these people I'm about to bring up are poised to make a big comeback in 2022, starting with...
Dude, you're getting Dell.
Ah!
Dude, a lot can happen in 20 years.
Yeah, the Dell kid is making his comeback. He was probably the one out of the three I'm going to read that was mostly wronged. Completely wronged.
Yeah, he was a guy who was very famous. He was in commercials. He was the dude you're getting the Dell guy.
He was the Dell guy. And people loved him.
He got arrested for making a purchase of a small amount of weed.
Yes, yeah. A little bit of swag.
And he got jettisoned.
Absolutely. He was gone quick. Mothers were upset.
If you're a little bit younger.
This feels like the Nancy Reagan kids going after it.
Yeah, if you're a little bit younger, this would be like Flo from Progressive getting jettisoned all of a sudden. It was going to be lucrative. And because he was so attached to Dell at that time, as an actor, he couldn't get a job doing something else because if he popped up in a movie, it was going to be awkward.
You were going to know who he was.
That's the Dell kid. What's he doing in this movie?
Yeah, but he's making a comeback. He is in this commercial. Dell's talking about sustainability, recycling.
And so much just choked. Wait, he's actually doing it for Dell?
He's back with Dell. That's why he's talking about old things, making a comeback, and he ends it with recycling. So Dell is essentially recycling him as their spokesmodel.
Ad company brought this to...
No, we can look into that later.
I'll look into it later.
I'll
That's
find
great.
Out because I think
it's a question. I didn't expect you to know.
It is a great campaign. Mm-hmm. It is a great idea and well deserved for a guy that was, you know, pretty much, like you said, let go for buying some grass
in California.
Where it's now very, very legal, almost legal in most of the United States. And this wasn't like it happened in the 80s. Me bringing up Nancy Reagan. This happened in the 2000s, and he was still kicked out the door. So that's the biggest comeback person poised to make 2022. The next one, this guy's already kind of had his big moment, but Mike Tyson has been tripping on toad venom, died, he says, and came back, and he is now losing weight off of anything bad and is returning to boxing.
Oh, he's saying, quote unquote, like, he's not saying he died. He's saying Mike Tyson.
Ego death.
Ego death.
Yeah. Yeah, with the psychedelic toad venom. And obviously, he's already had a comeback with, you know, being in movies. Hangover.
Like, he had a huge comeback because he was very early on canceled. And then somehow cancel culture forgot. Because I always thought, well, they're coming for him again. They're going to be
abuse
like, well, he wasn't in jail long enough for punching women or something. But it never happened.
Rape also.
Well, there was an ex.
It was bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But the specific comeback he's making is into the boxing realm. Now that you have the Jake Pauls of the world.
Is he gonna fight Jake Paul? Is that
Logan
what's going to happen?
I don't know if those guys are fighting anymore. I think they
got punched in the face and said, this isn't fun.
I think they made their money and picked fights that were advantageous to them and are going to move on. I would not want to fight Mike Tyson, one of the greatest of all time. And last but not least, also someone who I feel like has been back in the zeitgeist, but now back into the world of children. Pee Wee Herman is returning with his own radio show in Los Angeles. Paul Rubens is back, and it'll be an afternoon show, and it's going to have all the old characters, Cherry, Magic Screen, Missy Vaughn, and so much more. Pee Wee Herman, of course, famously kicked out of hosting a show and pop culture and whatnot after Jay Owen in a adult movie theater.
Doing what people pay money to do
in
theaters.
An adult movie theater. Yeah, he's just famous, so I guess that's something you know not to do now. But three big comebacks from three people that I remember from my childhood, all the scandals, all the things happening involving them, and now they're poised to have a big 2022.
Great. Any word on Epstein's comeback?
Not yet.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Yes! 512-835-1015. 512-835-1015. We're going to play one of Matt's games for a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones this weekend. The name of the game, Undercover. There we go.
That's right. Do me a favor, like fill up that phone bank, dump it, and then we'll refill it so we don't get any what are those called? Prize whores?
Yes.
So this is a big prize pair of tickets to go see a little band called Rolling Stones.
Yeah, actually from Dayton, Ohio.
Yep, a lot of people don't realize that the Rolling Stones are from Dayton.
Cool, phones are ringing. Yep. Let's take a couple of humans.
We're going to need two players, please.
Two players, cool. Caller, hi, hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Kayla.
Hi, Kayla, how are you today?
I'm good, how are you?
Good to hear you.
Now,
thank
Kayla,
you for calling
you
in.
You haven't won any big prizes from us in the last 30 days, have you?
No, I just got all the random stuff y'all gave me the other day.
Okay, that's fine.
We said you
could play again. I just recognize your voice, so that's why I had to check.
Yeah, that was me.
All right,
okay,
hang on,
tell
Kayla.
You what. Are you willing to forfeit some candy corn and CDs we found around the station for Stones tickets?
I think I could do that, yeah.
Okay, there. We'll let you do that. Caller, who is this? Caller.
Three.
Kayla?
No, Kayla, not you. Whoever else is there.
I was like, oh.
No. It's not going to work. That person's not.
That sucks. Caller, who's this? Hey, caller.
This is John.
John, welcome to the program.
Awesome.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. I'm going to have you ring in. This contest is called Undercover. I'm going to give you hints as to these cover artists, people that have covered the Rolling Stones. When you think you know the artist, you will buzz in with your name. Kayla, will you test your buzzer?
Sorry?
Will you test your buzzer, Kayla? You use your name.
Buzz!
Just yell Kayla, and that'll help me out. And John, do you have your window open in your car?
You know what? I'm going to pull over.
That's the safest thing to do.
I would do that.
It's a big prize. I want to make sure that you can hear me. And it also sounds like you're actually standing on the freeway. So if you're on speakerphone or something like that, and you can get on handheld, that's best for us. But so here's the deal. I will start giving you clues, and when you think you know the artist, that's what I'm looking for, is the artist's name. Then you will buzz in with either John or Kayla, and then I will call on you. Make sure you let the other person answer. Answer if I'm calling out their name. Sound good, everybody?
Got it.
Okay. First thing coming, the first two questions will be worth 1 point each. Here we go. I'm going to start giving you some clues, and when you think you know the artist, you let me know the artist. So this artist covered Can't Get No Satisfaction in the early 1980s. Red Hats. Futuristic Sunglasses.
CJ.
Whip It.
Damn. Damn.
I'm out of clues there. Are they still there or do they hang up?
They're
still
there.
Here.
Just guess a band.
Yeah, no. Wait, don't just guess a band. But are you playing down to them?
They can't hear that.
They can't? Okay. All right. So neither of you got that. And now I'm very worried because I thought that was the easiest one on here. Do you know the answer,
really
CJ?
Devo.
Correct. The answer is Devo.
1 point, CJ. I'll get these tickets too.
Yeah. John, you're still there, aren't you?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Next one. This band covered Paint It Black in the early 1990s. Looking for the name of a band. Ring in with your name when you recognize the band. Here we go. Spy Plane. Rattle. Hum. Joshua Tree. Achtung Baby.
John.
U2 is correct. John is on the board with 1 point. And the loudest phone background noise I've ever heard in a radio game. Here we go. Question number two. It's worth 2 points. Here we go. This band covered the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil in the late 1980s. Clues. Have You Seen My Wig Around? Lollapalooza. Nothing's...
John. The Chili Peppers.
Incorrect. Nothing's Shocking. Jane Says. Out of clues.
CJ.
Yeah, CJ.
Jane's Addiction.
That would be Jane's Addiction. Correct.
All right,
Jane's
two
Addiction.
2 points CJ, 1 point for John. Kayla still waiting to make some ground.
John has so far proved to us that he knows two band names. I'm not sure Kayla's ever heard music. Here we go. Next question. It's going to get tougher. This one's worth 2 points. This band covered Street Fighting Man in the late 2010s. Harvard graduate, Vietnamese monk Thich Quang Duc, Run the Jewels collab, Some of Those Who Burn Crosses.
CJ. Rage Against the Machine.
That would be Rage Against the Machine.
That's CJ 3, John 1, Kayla 0. I'm going to go to the Stones, baby!
I think you are. This is going... there's no way either of these are getting either of these questions, but they're both worth 3 points apiece.
Ooh.
This next one is this band covered I Can't Get No Satisfaction in the year 2000. Here we go, the clues. Giovanni Ribisi. The Greatest. Sun. Muscular Feline. Chan Marshall.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's okay. Do you want to ring in, CJ?
No, I'm already dunking on these fools. No need to.
So you don't know either?
No, I know. I just don't want to say it.
Cat Power would be that one. Cat Power.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually someone we played here.
I know. No, look, pretty much everything I brought up has been played here on 101X. That's kind of what I thought would be the angle. And this is the last one, and you better get it because the answer is inside the clues. This one's worth 3 points. Here we go. This band covered Wild Horses in the early 1990s. Scottish. Often confused for Mazzy Star. Here's...
Kayla? Isn't it Wild Horses?
Wild Horses is the song, correct. Thank you. We're looking for the band.
The band Wild Horses, never mind.
Yeah. No, we're looking for the band that covered
gimmick,
Wild Horses.
Though, okay.
Yeah, Here's Where the Story Ends. Band is named for a day of the week. This band is named for a day of the weekend. This band is named for the last day of the weekend.
John.
John.
Kayla.
It is the Sundays. You're right, John. God almighty.
Go.
This did not go well.
No, dude, Rolling Stones trivia is just too hard to do on 101X, but...
what do you mean? I didn't ask a single question about the Rolling Stones. Single question about the Rolling Stones.
The curse.
I only asked about bands that we've played here on this station.
Yesterday, we just hung up on everyone. Today, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't keeping score or paying attention to that, really. So congrats, you're both winners and going to the Stones!
You both answered nothing and you're both going to the Stones. Congrats.
Congratulations. More chances to win. Come out tomorrow.
Hey, real quick. Before you go to break, now don't hang up. You're going to stay on hold and Spain's going to talk to you. But Kayla, really quickly, have you ever heard of the Rolling Stones?
She hung up.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Never buy a pint of ice cream again.
Yeah, it's not enough.
No. And you're right. It's not. And I'm not telling you to never buy a pint. I'm saying, what if the possibility existed that you never had to buy a pint of ice cream again? And, well, Matt, this is ice cream. Everybody loves ice cream. What does this have to do with Weird or Wired? This is the Weird or Wired segment. What's going on?
People are confused. They're angered.
I'm going to tell you. I'm getting ready to tell you. I have just discovered this. Now, it's wintertime. A lot of people are like, that's not really ice cream time. And I say to them, you're not really an ice cream person.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. I am ice cream's bitch. That's who I am. Had some in bed last night. Had some in bed the night before that. That's the life I live.
Poor little guy.
You go out there and enjoy your cocaine, young people. You know what I do at night?
No, actually don't. It's probably got fentanyl in it now.
You know what I do? I go to Hotel Vegas and I do ice cream off the back of the commode. That's what I do when I go to Hotel
Side
Vegas.
Sidebar, you mean? Yeah, that too.
So, and I enjoy it, damn it. There is one of the problems with making your own ice cream. You ever try to make your own ice cream?
Yeah, it's a bitch.
It's a pain in the ass.
And who keeps vanilla in their house that's not a grandma?
Right. It's impossible. First of all, if you have one of those old-fashioned ones you got to crank, your arm comes off before you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can plug it in with a rock salt on it. That's
and
idiotic.
And it's just chewy.
Yeah.
Chunky.
So years ago, they started coming out with these things where you could put them on like a mixer stand. You take a bowl, you put it in the freezer, and you freeze that thing for 2 or 3 days. And then they made like these automatic ice cream makers. Then you dump the bowl into the machine and it stirs or whatever. The problem is that bowl is the size of a gallon of ice cream and it just takes up room in the freezer. And
you
I don't
probably
know.
Don't even have.
I don't have room in my freezer. I got a bunch of kids and stuff. It doesn't work
in
for
your
me.
Freezer.
In the yes. Shh. Don't tell the police. So no interest. Well, my friends. I've discovered something called a compressor style ice cream maker.
Ew.
I know. It's not cheap. It's $300, but it goes on your counter. It's not huge. It's the small size of a small microwave. And when you turn it on, it has a tiny refrigerator compressor inside of it, and it just starts freezing right away. So now you can make your own ice cream, and it's wintertime.
You can put in your own ingredients, find your own fun things.
And the great thing about wintertime is that, look, summertime, I want a light, refreshing ice cream.
Yeah, but it sits in your stomach in the summer.
In the wintertime, bourbon, Kahlua, caramel, figgy puddings, pumpkin, cheese, whatever the hell one you want, like big, heavy, oh, God, I'm so excited. I'm really horny for ice cream right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, all those big heavy flavors can go right in there. This machine, I found one that's being recommended that has great reviews. The company is named Winter, WHYNTER, Winter Ice Cream Maker. It's 300 bones on Amazon. And within not much time, it's right there. You put it on your counter, make fresh ice cream every night, and eat the entire quart every single night. Oh my God. I'm all about it. Is this weird or is it wired? It is 100% wired. Also, that's the close of that segment. The amount of stuff that's rolling in on the internet, people are furious. Furious at Kayla and John for not knowing the questions, which makes me feel better about the contest.
Mm-hmm.
But people are really mad that we gave them the tickets.
Yeah, well, we'll have more tomorrow.
We will have more tomorrow. More Rolling Stone tomorrow.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
As what I like to call stream season approaches, I've started paying more attention to what's happening on all the networks we now have. You know, we cut the cord from cable just to subscribe to a ton of different bundle networks.
That's right. That's the way you gotta do it.
There we go. Earlier today, we were talking about the top grossing movies on Netflix. And you asked about the television shows, and I thought, you know what? We'll talk about that because I find it interesting that somewhere around 287 million viewers were what the highest of the top 10 Netflix-produced movies in viewers gained, 287 million.
Okay, sorry. I just having a hard time following that one.
I think I had a seizure in the middle of saying
that. Did you? Are you? Hey, look, if you're sneaking off and getting high during the show, I'm not mad, but you should invite me.
Sneaking off? I literally brought spray paint in here the other day, and y'all both got mad at me.
Well, that smelled horrible. Okay.
So anyhow, let me repeat myself. The top Netflix movie had somewhere around, I think, 287 million viewers.
Okay.
The number 10 just produced show doubled that with 457 million. So obviously their home produced shows, a lot bigger market for that.
Yeah, well, we should also say they count streams, not viewers.
Not viewers, yeah.
They're always going to be higher.
Nielsen
especially
sense.
When they, yeah, because you're going to attract more streams anyway. People have less time, so they'll watch a half hour as opposed to watching something that's an hour or 2 hours. And they collect more. But that's neither hither nor thither.
Yes.
Let's just hear them.
You can fudge numbers however you want.
Absolutely.
I started this and ended it mid season two. Season 2, number 10 at 457 million.
Never saw any of it.
Right behind it, number 9, You, season 3, 468 million.
Never saw
it. First season was good. I liked it. It's I feel it's a more female-driven oriented show. Number 8,
Girls.
Made at 469 million. Two more shows I didn't see, but a lot of friends did. Number 7, 13 Reasons Why, season 1. Number 6, 13 Reasons Why, Season 2, 496. Number 5 that I know Spinny and I are both behind, The Witcher, 541 million. I'm not a Henry Cavill fan, but damn it, seeing him in Witcher, love it all the way. Love it, freaking love The Witcher.
I'm completely behind. I haven't heard of any of these shows you've mentioned so far.
That's kind of surprising. 13 Reasons Why was the teen suicide one that left like clues and a mixtape and stuff.
Why do I want to watch a movie
with
about
your kids?
About something I already lived.
Number 4, not bad, not good, but you know, worth watching. Stranger Things 3 at 582 million. Number 3, Money Heist Part 4, 619 million streams. Number 2, Beyonce kind of like this. I think your wife dugs it. A lot of women do. A lot of the girls, the broads.
Bridgerton. Yeah,
yes.
Has to be.
625 million. And then, of course, we know this. No surprise. Number 1,
Squid
obviously.
Game.
Squid Games at 1.6 billion. A lot of people watching that. And I love the memes of the Squid Game actors and producers and even especially the director being like, thanks for making me rich. Imagine that. Getting on a show that's just something like that and then suddenly you're a celebrity.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic.
Huge.
It's fantastic.
Hey, it's going to happen to us over here. Just Matt and CJ.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Grab a jacket, listeners. She took a long time, but fall may finally be accepting our invitation for spending some time here in the city of Austin.
Are you saying it's sweater weather? It's the neighborhood, 101X. I'm just kidding, dude.
What are you doing?
I was doing my old school radio thing, like a DJ. See, you talk about the weather, I introduce a song about it.
Well, let me know that's where you're going. I didn't know what the hell was happening
was
all of a sudden. My God.
Sorry. So it's chilling out coming up.
I love you, dude. I love you. Did you see my face? I was like, what is he doing? The weather is supposed to be changing starting tonight. Tomorrow, like the high is like 60, and then it stays kind of cool. And these 80s, 90s, all that it seems to be behind us.
So false fall
may finally be behind us.
Good.
It's supposed to be chilly this and kind of nice and temperate this weekend, but nice. Then at the end of the
Thanksgiving
weekend, we'll finally get like really chilly, like maybe high 30s.
Oh.
But just at night. But ha ha ha. Computer models are already showing that sometime after November 28th, between November 28th and December 6th, we may have our first freeze.
Yes.
Very first freeze, which is, I'm excited about it, because it's a first opportunity for the Texas legislature
to kill us
and then get all kinds of kickbacks.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but all of our bills are going up an average of 15% every month for the next 10 years.
Oh, cool.
To pay off the last freeze that killed 700 people.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We got the right to pay for it. Hooray! Thank you, legislature.
I'm going to visit my old hometown and am seriously considering buying tire chains for my vehicle.
This is the fourth or fifth time you've brought this up on the show.
I think I need tire chains.
It's not going to snow here, but man, you want them, so just get them.
Well, here's the thing. They're very expensive to ship for the quality ones, or can I bring those on a plane? a box of tire chains? Is that allowed on a commercial flight?
Order them off Amazon. Or
those aren't as good, man. I want good tire chains. Those can pop
what?
And break
the
or
non-existent
pop
snow here?
It's last year.
Stutter.
I was kicking myself in the ass for getting rid of the tire chains I used to have when I moved to San Marcos because I never needed them. Guess what? Last year I needed tire chains, didn't have them.
Well, why don't you
now,
be a real man? Go out in the woods with a bow, bring down a buck, turn his bones
antlers
into a set of tire chains instead of acting like a big old puss and ordering it off the interwebs.
You know what? You're right.
I don't have a jacket for this week.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.